morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Truckers Podcast, FYI. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. It is 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope everybody's had a good weekend. And, of course, it is St. Patrick's Day here on the 17th of March. And for all you revelers out there who go out and party, I hope you had a good time. Hope you were safe. Everything went well. And you more than likely have a hangover this morning, which I do not, because I didn't join in the festivities. And of course, it's going to carry on into today, being that it is St. Patrick's Day. And of course, also, this is the last official weekend of winter. Spring arrives on Tuesday, on March the 19th. And also, mentioning at the beginning of my show, on March 31st at 1 p.m., I will have a guest speaker here on the Truckers Podcast. His name is Ethan Brown, and he is an environmental journalist. And you don't want to miss that show. You want to come out and join in, and that'd be great. I want to talk about this one little subject first. I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago, I was reading an article, and the city of Hamilton has opted in to have a bylaw put in place to potentially and hopefully stop rental evictions. Here in the city I reside in, they are now taking a look at this. And what they can opt into in order to prevent rental evictions, and what they are, is that a landlord would file an N-13 form with the Landlord's Tenants Board, requesting that the tenant moves out while the renovations are being conducted. And the tenant is supposed to move back in when the renovations are done, because the tenant has the first right of refusal. And what's happening is that they're not telling the tenant that the rentals are done, and they're re-renting that unit for double or triple the rent to somebody else. So there was a licensing bylaw recently approved in a nearby municipality, which is Hamilton, Ontario. They might hold the key to ending the so-called rent evictions here in London, Ontario. So like I said, a provincial N-13 notice informs a tenant that significant renovations are planned for their apartment that require them to relocate. However, and not all, but some, landlords have been accused of abusing the use of the N-13 notices to pressure tenants to leave apartments so that the rent can be substantially raised for the next tenant. So they've been investigating the scope of the problem and offers a potential solution. Two high rises in the city has been in and out of the news frequently about rental evictions. These are older buildings, and these tenants have lived there 10, 15, 20 years, paying affordability rent that they can afford. The buildings were sold. New owners took over and attempting to use these N13 forms, even offering them money to move out. They've had rallies at this location. It's still in the news. Now, the bylaw, what Hamilton has put together. In Hamilton, landlords issuing an N13 notice will have to obtain a rent eviction license from the municipality for $715 per unit. The eviction and renovations will only be permitted to proceed if the landlord proves that the unit must be vacant for the renovations to be done safely. Cleaning up the apartment and slapping paint on the wall isn't a renovation. That's done every single time when tenants move out. The tenants can opt to return to their apartment after the work is complete. So if so, the landlord must arrange for a comparable unit for the duration of the rent evictions. So for instance, if they don't have an available unit in that building and they own other buildings and they have a vacancy, then they'll have to place you in that unit at the rent that you're paying until your renovations are done and you move back into your initial apartment at the same rent that you were paying. So here in the city of London, they're taking a look at the Hamilton bylaw and not have to redraft it, and they don't have to start from scratch. So the report suggests that staff bring forward a draft bylaw for council's consideration, and they would like to see it be expedited given the urgency of the problem. A tenant was served the N13 notice, in the buildings that I was just talking about. She has participated in several rallies at the Webster Street Apartments. The deputy mayor supports much of the Hamilton bylaw. There are things in there I think are really easy for us to say. Those are good steps to move forward. There's some other things I think need to be fine-tuned. A little bit for London. I guess every municipality is going to be different, obviously. He doesn't want to punish the good actors. Well, the good actors could be in disguise, as far as I'm concerned. When corporations buy up older apartment buildings, their objective is to get as much rent as they possibly can. Bad actors, good actors, to me, that's a concern, and that they will use the N13. What happens in some cases when people, landlords issue the N13, they'll go on the Landlord's Tenants Board webpage, fill out the forms, print them off, not file them, and unbeknown to tenants, not really understanding the rules and regulations, thinking that, oh, I have to move. when in fact you don't. It has to go to the landlord's tenants board. A lot of people don't realize that you can call the landlord's tenants board. Give them the file number at the top of the form. See that it has been registered. I believe that for the rent of eviction notices that were sent out to the people at the Webster Street Apartments here in London, Ontario, they were not filed with the Landlord's Tenants Board. So the deputy mayor added that he strongly supports the severe penalties for violating the licensing bylaw in Hamilton. So when the landlord violates that bylaw, they face up to $10,000 in fines. The penalties jump to as much as $25,000 for continued offenses. Corporations could face fines up to $50,000 to $100,000. All municipalities here and cities here in Ontario need to jump on this bandwagon, and they need to implement these bylaws and to prevent and stop these rental evictions. I came across this article yesterday. It's hard for people to find rent, suitable rent, affordable rent, not to be more than 30% of your income. A single mother here in Canada says she can't find housing because she has a child. She claims that property owners in the area where she resides have denied her rental applications because she has a child. So she'd been searching for, you know, an available apartment. She decided to sell her home. Her adult children are moved out, and she doesn't need the space, obviously, anymore, and she has a younger child living at home. Now, she says most companies request an information about her living situation before allowing her to come and view a unit. And she goes on to say that whenever she's mentioned that she has a six-year-old child, the conversation would abruptly end. It is actually illegal to refuse an application for a rental unit because you have a child. Now, according to, this is what I said, according to the New Brunswick Human Rights Act, family status is considered protected grounds. The ground of family status prevents discrimination against persons who have children. Refusing to rent property to someone because they have children could be an example of family status discrimination. She shouldn't even have this issue about renting. Now, affordability, which has become unaffordability for a lot of people, a lot of Canadians, millions of Canadians who are in low-paying jobs, essentially, who are on a fixed income, whether it's a disability or social assistance. our Deputy Prime Minister touts affordable development renting, a 330 square foot units for $1,600 a month. This is in British Columbia, Canada. That micro apartment starting at $1,600 per month that she said was illustrative of the homes that her government is getting built for low and middle income Canadians. This is a 227 apartments for low and middle income Canadians, and it was built thanks to the apartment construction loan program, said the Deputy Prime Minister. Now, she's given this prime example of how the federal government is building more homes for everyone, including families, younger Canadians, and persons with disabilities. A two-bedroom unit at this new build starts at $3,300 per month. The lowest price one-bedroom unit is advertised for $2,400 per month. The absolute lowest price unit is being advertised as an A2 studio apartment, a micro unit of just 330 square feet, about the size of two parking spots. For $1,680 per month. Can you live in a place that is the size is no bigger than two parking spots? I don't even know how that's feasible to be able to live in something like that and for that kind of money. Now, according to the most recent report by rentals.ca, average asking rent for a Victoria two-bedroom is $2,700, and for a one-bedroom is $2,100. And all these figures are well beyond the rents paid by the average people who live in Victoria, around Victoria, BC, since most Victoria renters are locked into lower rates, and the average rent paid in the city is about $1,500 per month. More likely for a one bedroom. How can she tout this? How can she be excited about this? She also goes on to say that this new build is an affordable rental project because it does technically meet the affordability requirements for the apartment construction loan program. So to qualify for an affordable unit, Hudson House needs to only to ensure that 20% of its units have rents that are less than 30% of the median total income for the area. So the median total income for people who live in Victoria are families is $111,390 a year. So any unit that costs less than a third of that, $33,417 per year, is considered affordable by the federal government. You're not going to be able to afford a $2,700 apartment on $33,000 a year for a two-bedroom. Not even possible. In just 3 months, last year, Canada added 430,000 new people, easily placing Canada among the top 5 fastest growing countries on Earth. That's an average of 5,000 newcomers per day. And this means that even every single Hudson House unit ends up housing a family of 5, it will account for just 5 hours worth of new immigration. And she goes on to say how lucky we are to live in this amazing city. Wow, she says. That's just appalling. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know who she thinks she's pulling the wool over whose eyes, but certainly not mine. When we go by province by province and premiers and touting the affordability, building, Doug Ford wants to build $1.5 million homes in the next 10 years. But he's also including nursing homes, getting people placed in nursing homes who need to be placed in nursing homes, and counting that as housing. Nursing homes are health care. Far too many people, far too many low earners are going to be left out in the cold. It's going to create the matter that we're in right now, the problems that we're in right now is going to be a lot worse, because there's going to be no such thing as affordability, or as people who are already struggling to put food on the table, keep the lights on, falling behind in their bills, trying to make a decision whether they're going to buy groceries for the week or pay that bill. And quite frankly, nobody should have to make that decision. So, we'll create a bigger homeless population than what we already have. And we will create a bigger hidden homeless than what we already have. See, they can estimate how many people are homeless by the shelters and how many people are on the streets, how many people in tent encampments all around the cities and municipalities. They can account for those people, but they can't account for the hidden homeless because they're hidden and you can't count them. People making $17.65 an hour, $18 an hour, $19 an hour. You're not going to be able to afford $1,800 for a one bedroom. You're not going to be able to afford $2,000 for a three bedroom townhouse. Whereas those rents used to be around $800. Used to be. You're able to put food on the table. You'd be able to pay the bills. Drive your car, put gas in your car, maintain your car. It's becoming quite evident that that is deteriorating at a rapid pace. I don't think corporations are any better than any other landlord out there. Because when these corporations buys up these old buildings, they want one thing, and they want more money. They want more money. They have stakeholders to pay. The more money they charge for rent, the more money the stakeholders make. That's the bottom line. Stakeholders are not getting enough money. from the buildings that they bought, from the older buildings that they bought, they'll move on and they'll invest their money someplace else to get a lucrative return. They hope and pray that people who are paying $750 to $800 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, that they'll just simply move out and they can double, triple the rent. But that's not going to happen. Thank you for joining me this morning. So I've been out here talking about the rising rents and unaffordability. Just a little recap for you. A municipality not far from where I live has introduced a bylaw that landlords who are seeking to do a rental eviction they have to apply to the city and they have to pay $715 for each unit that they are so-called renovations. So the city that I reside in is now looking at that bylaw. So in Hamilton, Ontario, landlords issuing an N13 notice will have to obtain a rental eviction license from the municipality for $715 per unit. And the eviction and renovations will only be permitted to proceed if the landlord proves that the unit must be vacant for the renovations to be done. So what's happening is that, you know, people get this N13 form and they say, okay, you know, I'll relocate till the renovations are done. And then unbeknown to them, the landlord re-rents it for double or triple the rent. The tenant that was initially in that unit has the first right of refusal. They can move back into that unit at the same rent that they were paying. So, if they do get the okay to go ahead with this rental, the landlord must arrange for a comparable unit for the duration of the rental. So if he owns other buildings and he has an empty apartment, he has to relocate you there at the same rent that you are paying. And then when your unit is finished, you can move back into your unit at the same rent that you were paying. So in the city that I reside in, they have taken a look at the Hamilton's bylaw and they're talking about that and not have to redraft it. So we don't have to start from scratch. But our deputy mayor goes on to say, he supports much of the Hamilton's bylaw. There are things that they think that are really easy for us to say for those good steps to move forward. There are some other things that I think need to be fine-tuned. So, of course, requiring landlords to obtain a rental eviction license from the city hall won't discourage necessary improvements. And he doesn't want to punish the good actors. Well, regardless of that, the good actors still have to go through the same process as everybody else. And the good actors could be in disguise of bad actors. Fines, if the landlord does the rentals and re-rents it to somebody else for double or triple the rent, they face up to $10,000 for individual tenants. The penalties can jump as much as $25,000. And for corporations, the fines could be anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. We have a bad acting corporation here in Ontario. They bought the Webster Street Apartments. The place is called Webster Inc. They have initiated these N13 forms. Those buildings that these people live in are geared to income. So they're on a disability. They're on a low pension. They're paying the rent at so compared to what their income is coming in. And they're giving these rental eviction notices to everybody. What else is happening is too, the landlord or corporation landlords, whatever, they go in online under the landlord's tenants board and they fill out the template. They just print it off and hand it to the tenant and not file it with the landlord's tenants board. And unknown to a lot of people, they don't understand the rules and regulations. They don't understand their rights. Just because you receive an N13 form does not mean you have to move out. The landlord has to apply to the landlord's tenants board. That could take months. And especially right now, because they are backlogged. They've had the tenants and Acorn, it's a group that helps people in these situations. They've held rallies at these buildings. They've been in the news frequently. This corporation, Webster Inc., has even said, we'll give you $5,000 just to move out. So what it tells me is that you didn't file your N13 with the landlord's tenants board if you're offering the money just to move out. So they want them out of there because they want to double and triple the rent. They want to go in there, clean up the apartment, slap some paint on the wall, and the apartment was $800. Now they want $1,900 a month. Every city, every municipality needs to take a look at the bylaw that Hamilton has done, as London is doing it right now, and make these implications and make it a reality that we put a stop to these so-called rental evictions of these low-end rents that people can afford to stay in. I talked a little bit earlier about our Deputy Prime Minister. She was out in British Columbia. And through government loans and everything to build affordable housing, she touts affordability. This development renting a 330 square foot units for $1,600 a month. Do you know how big 330 square foot units would be? The next time that you're at the shopping mall and you pull your car into a parking spot, 330 square foot units are two parking spots. That's how big that is for $1,600 a month. So these 227 unit apartments for low and middle income Canadians, as it was built thanks to their apartment construction loan program, the federal. She says in a video, so there's a 25-story rental high-rise in Victoria, BC. Now, affordability for low and middle income for people. So this new build, 227 units, rates considered high even by the widely inflated standards of the coastal British Columbia. Two-bedroom units at the Hudson House start at $3,300 per month. The lowest priced one-bedroom unit is advertised for $2,400 a month. How's that for low and middle income families and individuals? How's that affordable? How do they determine, okay, so what's the low income, what's middle income? You know, in British Columbia. I mean, if the low income can afford you a place for $3,300 a month, then you're making some pretty damn good money. Or even $2,100 a month, you're making pretty damn good money. If that's on the lower end of the spectrum of an income for that area. Now, according to the most recent report by rentals.ca, the average asking rent for a Victoria two-bedroom in Victoria, BC, on the average two-bedroom is $2,700, with a one-bedroom at $2,100. And the lowest prices, according to the CMHC, the average rent paid in the city was at $1,516 per month. And for an existing Victoria renter to get even the micro unit at Hudson House, therefore, they would need to pay a per month premium of $160. So the Hudson House complex, because its builders benefit from the $100 million loan from the apartment construction loan program, touted as one of the key planks of the Trudeau government's pledge to build more homes faster. The program offers low-cost loans to builders who meet certain benchmarks for energy efficient and affordability. She goes on to say that the Hudson House is an affordable rental project because it does technically meet the affordability requirements for the apartment construction loan program. How in the fuck does it reach that? What I see coming down the road, if this keeps going the way it's going, we're going to create more homeless. And it's not the homeless that you're going to see on the streets. It's going to be the hidden homeless. And we already have that now, and they can't even account for that. They have no idea how many, because they're hidden. People who are in, for an example, with the two buildings here in the city that I talked to you about, the Webster Street Apartments, those buildings are 20, 30 years old, and those rents, you know, range from anywhere from $600 to $800 a month. Now, if you're making $17.65 an hour up to $20 an hour, you're not going to be able to afford an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, anywhere from $1,650 to $1,800. If you make $48,000 a year, the rent should be $1,250 a month for a one bedroom. That's 30%. Your rent should not be more than 30%. Your mortgage should not be more than 30%. All the new builds, the City of London is praising all the new builds that are going on in the downtown area. And those rents down there, they're going from anywhere from $2,000 to $2,800 a month. That's not your average Joe moving in there paying that kind of rent. These people who are in high paying jobs, working downtown, or they're working from home, they have sold their home and they want to downsize and they want to go into an apartment, they can afford it. Low income, middle income. Honestly, I don't even know what middle income is anymore. Compared to the wealthy. Middle income, what is it, 90, could be 90,000? I can tell you right now, to be able to afford a home that the city that I reside in, at today's market, you'd have to make it a five-figure income. Homes are ranging anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million. Whereas these homes that are selling for $750,000, $800,000, 10 years ago were $200,000. 20 years ago, they were $100,000. City I reside in was one of the low cost cities that you can live in. Now it's catching up to the likes of British Columbia. It's like Victoria, BC. It's catching up to the likes of Toronto and Montreal, Vancouver, British Columbia. People who are on a low wage earnings, looking for a place to live. Your situations, everybody's situations is different. And it could mean that someone's trying to get out of an abusive relationship. And will be needing a place. You know, after they go through the program, going through the women's shelter, and be able to find a place. Even the social housing, there's a 10-year waiting list. And any other social housing out there that requires somebody who has special needs. If they have a disability, a physical disability, it's around 12 years wait. We stopped building social housing back in the 80s. So low income, fixed incomes, low pensions, whatever the case may be. And you know, with these rental evictions going on, just to get these people out so they can double and triple the rent, where are they going to go? homeless shelter, family, the street. This is what's going to happen. I'm glad to see the city that I reside in has taken this initiative, as did Hamilton, with this bylaw. Other municipalities and cities here in Ontario need to do the same thing. And we need to keep these affordability rental units, and we need to build off them. Not everybody makes five figures. I think it's a really good first step in protecting tenants' rights, and to make sure that these landlords are acting in good faith. And still, it doesn't mean just because they go and file to the Landlords Tenants Board, it doesn't mean that they're actually going to get that eviction. Other tactics that they try to use is that, oh, I have a family member moving in, which they can, which is perfectly legal. To get you out of there, and you think for 1 second that they're going to charge their family member double or triple the rent? I don't think so. They'll use that tactic to get you out, to re-rent it to somebody else, and double and triple the rent. And that has been going on as well. Now, what happens if someone decides that, okay, you know, you're in a situation, well, hey, you know what, I'm in a situation, I've got enough money for a down payment for a house. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to move out of this $800 apartment. Once that person vacates that apartment, there is no set rent, you know, so the landlord can raise that rent to whatever the amount they want after that tenant moves out on their own steam. Maybe they're relocating to another city or another province. They can charge whatever they want after the tenant moves out. And of course, you know that rent is going to double or triple. It's not going to be necessarily affordable for the next person to move in. The vacancy rate here in the city that I reside in is about 1.5%. Nobody's moving because they can't afford to move. Well, that's the show for today. And now at the beginning of my show, I mentioned that on March the 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to have a special speaker, a guest here on the Truckers Podcast. His name is Ethan Brown. He's an environmentalist journalist. I'm excited about it. It'll be my first real interview of interviewing somebody. March 31st at 1 p.m. You'd want to come out on the show and listen to this. And then, of course, leading up to that, my weekend podcast, Saturday and Sundays at 8:30 in the morning. So, yeah, come out for that show. Come out for every show if you can. If you can, I understand. That's okay. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. It is St. Paddy's Day. if you're still in that mode of celebration, take it easy. You know, you got to go to work tomorrow. You don't want to be all hungover. And oh, by the way, this is the final weekend of the March break for the kids here in Ontario, Canada. School is back in tomorrow. Be aware the school buses are going to be back on the roads. Drive safe, drive accordingly, stop in both directions for school buses when the kids are being loaded and offloaded. Put your cell phones away and pay attention. Thank you for listening to the Truckers Podcast, FYI. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. Until we meet again, next Saturday morning at 8:30. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And thank you.